A second provocation that I find really useful in kind of linking this historic campaign to the contemporary world is thinking about women's unpaid work as an alternative way of looking at austerity. In times of economic crisis, as I've talked about with the New York crisis of the 70s, some of the first things to be cut from the budget are things that support unpaid women's care work, or that support, rather, that cut women's care work. And Wages for Housework argued that cutting off social support was not just a matter of kind of tightening the belt and trimming budgets, but a way of exploiting coercing labor from women, a kind of form of freeloading on the work of women. And I want to just read to you a quotation from a Wages for Housework activist named Andaye. She was from Guyana, and she founded a Wages for Housework branch in Guyana in the 1980s. And she has this to say about structural adjustment programs that were imposed on Guyana in the 1980s, basically pushing governments to cut all these social programs. She wrote, "When prices rise and incomes plunge, whose job is it to walk from shop to shop and stall to stall in order to find the cheapest items of food, and then to go home and do the extra cooking that is required to make cheap items of food edible? When, as in Guyana, all the systems for the provision of safe water fail, who goes to fetch water daily from downstairs or the next street or 2 miles down the road except women? When, as in Guyana, we become prey to waterborne diseases, who has to try to hold the line against the total collapse of the immediate environment of the family except women? When women fail in this and the disease does strike, who has to run up and down to take family to hospitals which have become ill-equipped because of government cuts? Structural adjustment assumes correctly that what women do in the face of the deterioration it brings is to increase the unpaid work we do without even thinking about it in an attempt to ensure that our families survive." And then the third provocation, largely inspired by Wilmette Brown, that I think is really useful for thinking about our contemporary world, is the idea that housework is environmental survival and repair. And I think about the kind of insight she had facing her own cancer crisis and thinking about environmental racism, thinking about, connected to what she grew up with in her hometown. And I was thinking about this a lot as I, observed what was happening in the world as I wrote this book. For example, the crisis of poisoned water supply in Flint, Michigan, right? Of course, the obvious, victims of this are people who are poisoned by that water, the health effects that result, that result from having a water supply that's tainted in that way. A whole other level that I started to think about when I was thinking about wages for housework is the kinds of work burdens that imposes on women, particularly in poor communities, when you can't trust the water supply. Water is the central tool of doing any kind of housework. If you can't use that and trust that, how much more work do you have to do to try to keep your children safe, to keep your household running? Similarly, we're facing deforestation and rising sea levels. And one of the kind of insights, for example, you have Ellen Sirleaf Johnson, the former president of Liberia, talking about how so much of climate change is women's work. Women are the ones that have to walk further to gather firewood when, the forested areas around you are cut down, who have to deal with water supply issues when rising sea levels and the safety of water is threatened. So to what extent is climate change connected to women's unpaid work? And how might that change how we think about environmental justice in that context? So these are just some of the lessons I learned from the Wages for Housework movement and its history. And so just in conclusion, Wages for Housework was a really powerful way for me to think about what I was facing in my own life as an individual, dealing with new forms of work, new forms of community as I became a mother for the first time. But really, as I learned about this history, it also made me think about some of the pressing challenges that are facing our world as a whole. And that was really what was so powerful to me about studying this history. So thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate your time.